Welcome to our podcast,
Band BFFs,
the podcast where we make your music selection less complicated.
On today's episode, we are going to be discussing Basilisk by Tyler Arcari. Cheers to starting the conversation.
Basilisk is a brand new piece.
2025.
Published this year. So it is not on any PML. And full disclosure, Katie and I have not played or rather, that's not true. We did play a little bit of it in the Phi Beta Mu reading band at our convention. We've not conducted, taught, or evaluated this piece. But we really enjoyed it. It was really cool. I think this is a piece that would be super cool if you're like doing a region band, or it's got a fall concert theme to it with the title Basilisk, which is like a mythical snake. Very cool piece. This is in the key of E flat or C minor. It does have split clarinet, split trumpet parts, and a slew of percussion. Really, you need, I would say, 8 percussionists if you want to cover most of the parts. It has an optional chime part, so if you even have 9 or 10 percussionists, you're going to find something for them to do in this piece. It's in 3-4 and 4-4. 3-4 most of the time. It does have, am I making that up? Doesn't it go to have a little section of 4-4? Is it just 3-4?
It's 3-4.
It's 3-4. Never mind. Okay.
But it has a tempo change.
That's what I'm thinking. I'm sorry. Thank you. Yeah. So there, it starts very moderate tempo and then speeds up.
To 144.
Yeah. After the first 15 measures. I also love it starts with this.
Okay. Let me tell my story. All right. So we played this. That's why she said, oh, wait, we did play it. For the Texas Bandmasters Association Conference for 2025 in our Phi Beta Mu reading band session, which shout out if you're from Texas or live around Texas, go to that convention and go to this session, because every year Laura and I get so many personal ideas for what we might want to play with our students, but now also we get to share with you guys all the pieces that we enjoy and think would be very fitting for younger bands, especially like middle school bands. She said, region bands too.
And even though we haven't conducted it, like we
played
get to,
most
we get to
of it.
Play yeah. it. So it's kind of neat to see it from the kids' perspective, right?
So it starts off, and my part got to do this. you have to be prepared. It has a written plastic bottle part for your flutes, your oboes, or an optional flute two-part if you don't have oboes, a saxophone and trumpet, both parts, and horn. That's a lot of water bottles. So everybody needs an empty plastic water bottle, and you're going to take it in your hands and just kind of crinkle it gently
roll it side to side. Roll it.
And it makes this crackling effect that's pretty loud. And so, like, my sweet friend took a video of me doing this while I was on stage, because I was like, oh, this feels very loud. But it did, because there were so many people playing the part. So even if you thought, oh my gosh, this is like a little bit aggressive like I did, maybe like don't have the brass do the crackling, just have the front row do it so that parents can kind of see it too. That's kind of fun. But again, if it's not overwhelming, let everybody do
it. It's a mood setter.
Yeah.
And it's effective.
Yeah.
It's an effective mood setter.
It sounds pretty cool.
Starts with a rain stick. And a thunder tube, and then it sounds like, I mean, it's meant to sound like,
or an optional ocean drum. Yeah,
it's meant to sound like rain. So I mean, like, you're just totally setting the stage.
Yes.
You know, metaphorically speaking.
Yeah. So 82 is what it's written at. So it starts off like ominously is what it says. We've got the rolling going and the crackling effect. The clarinets have the first opening statement with some low reeds. Rest, 2-3-1, 2-1, 3-1. It's very pretty. It's very soft. Written well. It's under the staff, except for tenor sax, a little bit higher. But just, this is a great moment to teach phrasing and not everybody breathing at the same time. Maybe mark in parts, like, I want you to breathe in measure 3. I want you to breathe in measure 4. So that way it sounds very seamless. The tuba comes in measure 4 with like a little, with a bass clarinet. 1-2-3-1.
So tuba's not playing at the beginning. It's just a woodwind feature.
Yeah.
But then they add in here, which I think is kind of a cool effect, right?
Just the tuba, yeah.
Yeah.
And then you have cues in trombone and euphonium, but the bassoon at 5 plays kind of this low part with the tenor sax. The clarinets continue on with their melody. We're continuing with the crackling. And now the horn comes in with like that little line, kind of how the tubas had it before.
And alto. Horn and alto.
And it's a, it's different here, too, but they come in on beat 2. They get a new little spot. 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, and 1. So it's kind of like in response to like what the clarinets were playing. Clarinets are now a little softer, not playing the melody anymore. That's the new melodic line. And then we get to measure 10. The trumpets now come in and have what looks to be a little bit like a...
like a counter melody to the clarinet.
Type part mm-hmm. with the clarinet. Yep. And we're kind of all building up. It's marked crescendoing starting here at 10. And we're leading up and adding more parts. Then finally the flute and oboe come in. No more water bottles. We're all playing long notes. The timpani starts rolling along with bass drum, tambourine. Tom comes in. And Tom is really the part that's going to change the tempo.
That's right. Because it has a 2-measure ritardando right here before 16.
And you can either, I assume, treat that as like a ritardando, 1, 2, and 3, and fast. Or if you wanted to, you could do 1, 2, and 3, and 1 so that they know where the tempo is. Up to you and your level of ability in your band.
I would slow down.
I would too, but I'm just saying that if your band isn't very good at like hearing a tempo change and coming in together, it would be a good idea to give them that tempo ahead of time. At 16, everybody comes in.
Now we're fast
all together.
Tempo.
Yep. Yes. And on the fast tempo. 1, 2, and 3. 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3. 1. Off. Now, and this is the melody part in trumpet and alto sax.
Now, the way I would rehearse this here is I would take the trumpet and the alto out, and I would rehearse everybody else and lock into that 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3. 1. Making
sure
they're
really slow, by the way.
That they're articulating, that we are playing in time. We're playing that note the same length as everybody else. Then go back in and add that melodic line in. And it does not need to be, like, there's no style markings on here. So I would do...
connected.
Yeah, full value. Ta, 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 ta,
and the low people, the people with the accompaniment that Laura was talking about, those notes are accented.
Mm-hmm.
But soft. Percussion is kind of chilling here. Like, they're not playing much, just doing the hits along with the accompaniment part. At 20, they continue on. Trumpets and alto still with the melody, still the same accompaniment. But at 22, snares are going on. They were off before. And now we're leading up into 24.
Now, there is a rhythm that happens in here. This is a publisher grade 1.5,
mm-hmm.
and we absolutely agree with that. And part of the reason is because of some of the rhythmic challenges that are in this. This syncopated statement, 1, 2, and 1, happens a lot throughout here. It happens a ton in percussion. It starts in percussion, but then it happens in the low voices. It happens in the melodic instruments as well. So that rhythm, 1, 2, and 1, is really important, and it doesn't always stay on one note. Sometimes it's moving around.
And it's marked with the accents. Mm-hmm. Da, 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 da. Yep. So we've led up into 24. The trumpets are still going with alto, but now flute, oboe, and clarinet have added in on the melody along with mallet 1. They're still continuing to play everything long and connected. We've now got a large wood block. We've got a triangle. We're getting a lot more percussive
still
elements
that low
here.
Tom, yeah.
And then the low brass, instead of now playing like quarter notes that are accented, we're playing a more chordal type of accompaniment. Everything's a little bit more smooth, connected, not all breathing in the same spots, but the whole band is playing here. And then we're leading into 30, and at 30, he marks in bring out for the low people,
trombone, euphonium, bassoon,
barry, sax, 1, 2, and 3. So it's like kind of like the basilisk, I guess, is like coming out of the, I think of like Harry Potter, like here comes the snake coming out of the pipe in the bathroom with Moaning Myrtle. Sorry. But I mean, I would think that's where it rears its ugly head
there
for the first time.
Yeah. There you go. I like that.
So
like
at
that.
30, here comes the basilisk. And then it's just those people and it's accented and exciting. Everybody else is getting out of the way. Then we start to all crescendo up at 31. That same thought is accented the whole time while above them, all the other melodic instruments
are playing
really, really smooth and connected. So it's supposed to be kind of different.
Now, there's this wild thing in here leading into this next new little idea before we end this section, where most of the ensemble is crescendoing over this little 3 or 4 measure phrase leading up to the climax where we go 1, 2, and 1 as the full ensemble. But then there are some instruments, the low voices, not all the low voices, the tenor voices, I should say, Barry sax and tenor voices are day crescendoing as they lead into this. So I like, and just like, you know, the writing of Bring Out Before, like he's obviously been intentional about, okay, I want this instrument to do this. Oftentimes composers are not. We talk about Sheldon is really good about writing to that, right? So I like that he's been real specific.
Yep. At 34, the full band has that rhythm we just spoke about, 1, 2, and 1, and with accents and everything. So you'll have to, this is a great thing to add into like your daily exercises.
That's exactly right.
Like you can play this on a Remington to make sure that the style is completely accurate. They have it multiple times in a row together. Then 38, we start a new spot. This is a big percussion moment. Castanets, bass drum playing on the rim, a shaker, bongos, triangle, like all kinds of cool percussion stuff.
Timpani, mallets.
And then it's a woodwind choir for 4 measures. The flute, oboe, clarinet 1 lead it. Clarinet 1 is up higher in the staff, only up to about an E, but still up a little higher than before. We have little chords happening. You can add some beautiful shaping from the low reeds and the sax. Then at 42, low brass comes in just to add some cool chordal type things. Little counter melody in the trombone, euphonium, bassoon. And then we're back to that same rhythm leading into 46.
Now, in this little section, I would be careful. The upper woodwinds have this 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3. And the 2 and 3 is slurred because of the notes and the amount of physical movement that has to take place in their fingers. They're going to rush the eighth notes like crazy. The tendency is going to be to go ta, 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 ta. So I would make them tongue this at first until the rhythm is really solid and then go back in and add that slur.
And the oboe's on C's like the whole time. So just watch the tuning there too. Once we have built it up to 45, we've got another little 1, 2, and 1 and 2. And 46, when they land, the lows have like their little, I don't know, like a little basilisk theme again. 1, 2, 3, and 1, 2, and 1. So it's passing back and forth between lows and highs here. Highs are not as important. Lows need to be featured.
And this, like, it's active. They're moving around. Yes. They need to be able to articulate, move their fingers, and move their slides.
Slides, like, yeah, really, really well. And then this continues on until 54.
This was the section, by the way, as Katie and I were re-listening to this, that we looked at each other and we were like, this is not a grade one. This is, okay, yeah, it is a grade 1.5, 100%.
Yeah. It gets a little bit just more challenging. Lots of dynamics written in, follow them true to form, because they're written in well. And then at 54, we've got the same thing. Lows are continuing on. We've got little interjections from the upper people. But there's now a new cool little horn part. So
and
the
this
horn
is what needs
sax
to be brought out here.
Yep, you're going to bring out 1, 2, 3, 1, and that little part is just neat and different. It's up like on C, D, C in the horn part. That's what made us look at each other like, oh, that's getting up there a little higher. C, D, B flat, G, G. So getting up to C's, not horrible, but still. There's a couple little accidentals being added in at 59 and 60, like an E-flat bass clarinet, D-flat in the tuba part, A-flat in the horn. We got a lot of the 1, 2, and 1, 2, and 1, 62. We hit flute, oboe, trumpet, have the melody with sax and bells as well. And so now they have the melody. There's not very many accents in here, so everything should be connected unless you have an accented beat one.
And it's usually on beat one, right? So in this one little thing, another style rehearsal strategy that might be helpful. So like this measure 61, this is not the first time this has happened, where the full ensemble has one, two, and one, and the accents are happening on the one and the and. What I would do is that is an easy motion for a snare drummer because the accents are happening on the right hand. So I would have the snare drummer play right, left, right, left, right, and low strokes in the left hand, accents in the right hand, and then have the winds echo the drummer on a concert F. Da, 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 da. So they really get it in their ear what it sounds like to have the accented note and the unaccented note. That's easy on snare drum.
Yep. So 62, flute, oboe, sax, trumpet again. They're continuing on with this melody, but now it's a bit more back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
One, two, and three. And then lows come in. One, two, three. Back to trumpet. One, two, and three. One. So it is very much like when you have the dotted half note, you back out of the way. When you have the moving notes, you bring them out. So this is a good opportunity to teach that conceptual thing to all of your students. That continues on till 70. At 70, they have the same people. One, two, and three. One, lows, 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 lows. So we're still doing a little bit of a conversational piece, but it's not as like long value. Now we just have like quarter notes and eighth notes happening, and all the percussion is basically playing together here. Mallets are with upper woodwinds, but then percussion's all playing two and three and one. Like they're not yep. playing differing types of rhythms. Upper people are still continuing on the melody. And then we have a chord again with an accidental at 76. Like this time it's a G flat in the tuba, A flat in horn, A flat in trumpet. So it's a little bit of a chord. Probably you'll have to spend a little time tuning, mm-hmm. arriving at, making sure we're all good. And again, as we've already, you know, said many times, feel free to rewrite it. Like if that's a bad note on a certain instrument, change the chord a little bit.
Yeah,
you know?
I guarantee you your students don't have G flat major tonality in their ear. So
are you sure? And then 77 is the same rhythm again. One, two, and one. And then we have an arrival at 78. Upper woodwinds go one, two, and three, one, two, and three, like they did before. There's a slapstick that comes in on beat three each time here leading up to the end. The trumpets are playing a long chord along with horn and alto, and then lows come in, da, 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 chord, da, 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 da. And then the horn and alto have a cool little interlude at 82 and 83, and then full band at 84, including percussion, one, two, and one, and we all end it together. So this piece is
very
just
programmatic.
Super fun. Yeah.
Yeah. Very programmatic. Lots of fun. Cool effects.
Good things to teach, but not like overly ridiculous.
Right. Just moments. Yeah. Just like chunks of measures. Okay. Yeah. Let's really stress this eight measure phrase or whatever.
Yes.
Right. But fun piece. Your kids will love it. It'll be an audience pleaser for sure. Anytime you bring out the tub of empty water bottles and start passing it out to your ensemble, the audience sits up a little taller. Right.
Yeah.
So it's so cool. So cool.
All right, well, we hope you will enjoy programming Basilisk in the future, and thank you for joining us on this episode of
Band BFFs.